What the media is doing to the school around this incident, you're not helping. You're part of the problem.
You're
a problem.
There's 1,000 kids in that school, and not all of them are bad. There's a bad apple in every crop.
Now, this video is child pornography.
The school, the focus of allegations of sexual assault and bullying, with a police investigation triggered after some disturbing video surfaced.
I'm going to return to the victim. I made a decision. I know I'm being criticized for that.
The six boys arrested today have each been charged with assault, gang sexual assault, and sexual assault with a weapon.
It's not hard to understand how parents might be angry about reporters and their questions and their news-gathering gear set up near the site of a meeting about a very serious crime amongst their children. Someone's son has been violently sexually assaulted at school. Some of the other sons present took video of the horror and distributed it for the world to see. There's not just one case. And the school has handled the situation so deficiently that police found out about it through the news. Or did they? I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, commentary and analysis. It's symptomatic of our incredibly woeful approach to new media literacy that even if there are children so cruel as to brutalize another child at school, they also are too ignorant to realize that making and sharing a video like that is a crime. It's not conceivable, though, that any child in school in Canada today does not know it's wrong to humiliate someone on social media. Parents of other children at St. Michael's College School, private school for boys in grades 7 to 12 in Toronto, have much to be angry about. A terrible wrong has been done to a student by other students at school. The school did not call police as soon as it knew about the crime. The crime became news, bringing widespread attention to the crime, to the school, and to parents called to a meeting. Reporters staked out off-school property had a legitimate role to try to find out what parents have to say, hearing about what has happened from the school staff, and getting some insight perhaps into why the school didn't call the police the moment the sexual assault video came to light. Any thoughtful reporter sent to the scene can understand how parents might not be happy to see them. Are some more bold about what they might say to reporters in expressing their anger when they are daily bombarded with stories about Donald Trump's attacks on mainstream media? Maybe. Are Canadians becoming less trusting of mass media news products? There is some indication of that. Could Toronto Radio be a little more sensitive in the way it reports the story?
We're also now hearing from the principal that there are allegations of a second sexual assault at St. Mike's. There's a parent claiming her son was a victim. No details about exactly what may have happened. According to Mom, it also took place in the locker room.
And now the school has handed over another video to investigators. Greg Reeves is the principal of St. Michael's College School, speaking to City News amid mounting criticism.
I thought I was the first one that brought to the attention of police. My intention was only the victim, the parents.
He says the victim of a horrific hazing incident captured on video had not told his family about what happened, so that was the priority.
The newscasts these bits of audio come from on Toronto's main commercial sector news-oriented radio stations, News Talk 1010 and 680 News, happened before police filed criminal charges against several students. I would hope that broadcast news outlets will be sensitive in their writing and reporting of the story before their reporters or newscasters go on air. But let's back up a moment here. Is the scenario as I have portrayed it here accurate? 1 week after at least one assault first came to light at the school, police filed criminal charges against six boys. Within hours, the school principal holds a news conference. He knows he's going to take criticism for not immediately calling police. He admits so in the news conference, and he's not treated very well by some of the reporters. But listen to what else Greg Reeves says about that first day.
I called Sergeant Smith about 3:30 on Monday, and I told him exactly what we had and what we did. Sergeant Smith said if the victims wish to have charges, they had to come to the police.
Here's what I interpret. Before he receives the video showing the sexual assault, Principal Reeves calls the police about another video incident which shows a hazing assault, but not perhaps a sexual assault. Did someone at Toronto Police pass it off as something police would not act on unless the child who had been assaulted went to them? A hazing on video when the incident itself also likely constitutes assault? That did not merit police attention? If so, what does that say? So the principal maintains that he was going to call police about the sexual assault video on Wednesday, November 14th, after he finished expelling the perpetrators in the video. But while he is still in expulsion mode, police show up for some other reason, and he tells them about the sexual assault video. What is it then the police showed up for? There are criminal charges in the sexual assault case now. Those first charged are 14 and 15 years old, so their names will not become public. That's the law. Nor will the name of any victim become public. But they'll all live with this forever. The survivor, who knows how severely harmed. And it appears likely there may be more charges over more incidents as investigations continue. What happened at St. Michael's College School is awful. It's a matter of public interest. There are allegations of an attempted cover-up or mishandling. It's newsworthy. It's news. Not just in Toronto anymore, but across Canada.
Six students from an elite Catholic all-boys school in Toronto are out on bail tonight, facing several counts of sexual assault. The charges follow video of an alleged attack against another student circulated on social media.
Parents can be angry that reporters have questions. They should be angry that reporters need to have questions in this case. Angry that something like this happens at all these years after the terrible, tragic cases of Rehtaeh Parsons and Amanda Todd. They could turn that anger against a system which wants to protect boys who harm other children. At a hero-fetish sports culture that fears harm to the reputation of a sports team in a school over harm done to an individual. Maybe they'll demand the disbanding of the team or the dismissal of school employees. Maybe they'll have an interest in seeing that reporters assigned to cover such a terrible story can get accurate answers to meaningful questions. And parents of children at other institutions can also ask some questions. Crisis management thinkers and analysts and reporters are already. Stories are going to come out about harmful incidents at other private schools, public system schools, universities, or colleges. That will not be the fault of the media. But thank goodness there is some sector of society that takes the role of bringing facts to public attention, even if we question the school's decisions, and even if we're not sure how and why and when police get involved. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach radio.